Hi, Habibi. I was thinking of starting off with a wholesome doctor story.
Oh, please
for
do.
Once.
I can't believe it.
This is only for esteemed. Wait, is this going public or is this only for the patrons?
This is public.
Oh, okay. Oh, look what a treat you guys get. I was thinking of saving this for the patrons. How about this? I'll do a gross thing and I'll do a cute thing.
And balances out. Yeah.
So the first one was I had a very, very nice kid patient. I don't see them very frequently. Mm-hmm. But basically, I had to send this kid for some blood tests. She was maybe 5.5 or 6 mm-hmm. years old, young, basically. But she was very nice, very sweet, very, I don't know, like mature you know, like she would sit, she would listen, she would follow orders very well. In the doctor's office, she wasn't like being fussy or anything, which is surprising to see sometimes. But anyways, then I sent her for blood tests, right? And according to the nurses as well, that she was fantastic. She took it like a champ.
Wow.
Didn't complain or anything. And then afterwards, she came back with her mother into the office. And then she would like steal glasses at me, then look at her mother, steal glasses at me, and then look at her mother. And then she whispered to her mom. She was like, I want to tell the doctor something. And I heard this and I was like, yeah, go right ahead. And the mom was like, yeah, he's trustworthy. You can tell him. And she's like, I'm not so sure. I'm like, it's okay. Tell me. And she's like, it's a secret. You can't tell anybody. I was like, it's all right. I won't tell anybody. And then she like she shot at me the most triumphant smile and was like, I got two toys from the nurse. And then afterwards she yelled at me, she's like, promise you won't tell anybody. I'm like, I won't tell anybody. And now I'm telling
telling the world
hundreds
now.
Of thousands.
Yeah. Oh, typical doctor, can't trust them. That's
exactly
cute though.
Right. So that was one. Yeah. And another one was I accidentally exploded somebody's toe.
What?
Wait, you go on to hear the story. You know what? I'll save this one.
Oh,
I'll
great.
Save this one for
you. Leave me in the dark. Right. Okay.
Exactly. Next time when we're all together. but how about this? I'll tell you about my Homer Simpson patient.
Yeah. Okay, please.
I mean, this is more fucked up, actually. So it's a guy walks in and he is incredibly yellow.
Okay.
So he's jaundiced, basically. Yeah. Usually, of course, like unsurprising, there's a reason to why the fuck he's jaundiced. But this guy's been jaundiced for like 2 weeks and he's just like, you know what? I thought it would go away and it didn't go away. So Jeez. Finally he came in. I was like, all right. I looked at him. I checked him out and everything. And he had like, I asked a question and it's like one red flag check. I'm like, oh, okay. Then I ask another question. I do some investigations. It's like check, check, check. It's all the red flags are being checked. I'm like, yeah, my guy, we're gonna have to do some further investigations. It turns out that this guy, alhamdulillah, got very lucky. He came in with just diffuse yellowness in the skin, and it turned out to be a head of the pancreas tumor as well as colorectal cancer.
Jeez.
So this guy had a double whammy, 2-for-1.
Wow.
He got operated like on the spot, basically, and now he's fine, alhamdulillah.
Oh. That's nice. Yeah. I thought it was going to be some horrific story.
No, exactly. No.
Wow. Okay, explain to me jaundice, because I know babies often get jaundice when they're super young. Like Evie had slight, she had to go.
Phototherapy, right?
Yeah, we didn't even have to do that. They said maybe she'd have to, but we just kind of sat in the sun with her and stuff like that, and that was fine. I didn't know adults could get it too.
Yeah. Jaundice happens as a result of the buildup of something called bilirubin in the blood, and then afterwards it gets deposited in different parts of the body. This is a byproduct of red blood cell breakdown, and the liver is the one that's supposed to clear it out. Mm-hmm. You can have either pre-hepatic, intrahepatic, or post-hepatic reasons for buildup of bilirubin in the body, which can then result in jaundice. If you have this guy's example was post-hepatic, basically there was no block behind the liver, there was no block within the liver, something wrong with the liver itself, there's something that was happening right after the liver processing, basically, which caused this backup in the system, and that happened to be two tumors that are blocking the pathways.
I imagine like if you're an alcoholic or something and your liver has less function, this is more likely.
Exactly right. Certain infections, alcoholism, tumors or other things, stones can cause this as well.
Every day, new horrors for me to look forward to.
Exactly right. Hey, you know what? I don't know what to tell you. Don't drink.
Yeah.
Good thing you guys know. Don't drink. It's not common that it's a weird tumor. And I'll save the exploding toe for next time. Yeah.
Wherever Hugo is right now, he's tingling. He's like, oh, that doctor, he's saying something about alcohol. Hello, our sweet little piggies. It's been a while. This is a real light episode. It's just two of us today. It's just your boy, Hakeem, and your boy, me. We're gonna. We had a. Originally, this was gonna be a guest episode with a returning favorite whom we shall not name. But due to some scheduling errors, some daylight saving stuff, not gonna happen today. So we thought we would inaugurate a.
It's not a deprogram. It's not. Yeah. It's not an episode if it's not if we don't have immense
scheduling error. Yeah, I swear the number of episodes that have been derailed or postponed or otherwise canceled because we've goofed with scheduling. Yeah, well, this is why we have Hugo. But anyway, we're going to inaugurate a new format or a new recurring series called Viewer Mailbag, or sorry, Listener Mailbag. You can't see us. that's for the high tier patrons only. Basically, what we've wanted to do for a while is solicit questions, comments, lovingly crafted poems about Ugopnik's feet from you,
exactly,
our dear listeners. So I shot over a message to the Discord last night, and boy, if y'all didn't come through, I tell you what, we've got a lot of messages to go through. So we're going to yeah, honestly, we're gonna gently caress our bulging sack of listener mail that is fit to bust with lovely messages from you all. So let's begin, shall we?
Oh my God.
Let's dive right in. I'm gonna have to give the very first one because they got the first message, even though it's not particularly long or thought provoking. The message is, JT, you're cute. Thank you. It's true. from, of course, this name is called Bedonver the Unpronounceable, and they're living up to their living up to their name. But the next piece of mail, I am very interested in this too, and the question is, when are we getting the cookbook?
Okay, this is something that is, you know, I keep adding recipes to a, like, I have a preliminary list.
Nice.
But the thing is that the concept that we want to go with, at least is the concept that I have, is that I want it to be like kind of stories of our life mixed with some theory bits, historical tidbits, and the recipe. So I want it to be actually something that you don't actually need to write, or excuse me, you don't actually need to make the dishes in question. You can actually sit with this book and read it. But also I would like for it to be proper dishes that are made, but then we're going to have to get like a proper food photographer to take really nice photos of the kind of dishes, and that means we're going to need to cook the fucking things, and none of us are in the same place. So these logistical issues are kind of in the way. But I cannot wait. At first, I was thinking of having a stupid like naming convention where it's like alliteration, like Kronstadt kebabs or something like that. stupid shit like this. But I don't know. It's a little cringe.
Yeah.
we can do better than that. We'll see. But the stories of one's life plus like historical tidbits and some theory bit, and then a recipe to go with it is pretty neat, I think.
That sounds awesome, because that's something that, you know, the average listener could enjoy, regardless of whether they like cooking or not. You could just stay for the stories, the tidbits, the stuff like that, the pretty pictures. Hakeem touched this rice, that kind of thing. Just leave it open on their bedside table.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, there you go, gang. We don't have an ETA, but it's in the works. It's in the works.
Mm.
And we will be sure to announce it when Hakeem's special cookbook is ready. Maybe we'll make it a Patreon thing. Who knows? We'll see.
That would be so much fun. We could do a Patreon, like a Patreon thing where you'd be on camera, and it's basically me and you go off camera yelling at you on how to make the stuff. And we give you like time limits.
Oh my God. Like a master torture. Why do you people torture me? I'm the one who has to play the bad games. I'm the one who has to cook the food that I've never seen before in my life.
Habibi, it's okay. It's all right. It's because you're such a sweet soul. I'm sure you do a fantastic job, Habibi.
You're like, get the dates. What is a date?
Oh, I knew it would be filmed. Oh my God, that'd be so good.
That would be a blast.
The people listening, let us know. Let us know if that's something you'd like.
Yeah, yeah. Tell Hakeem how else you can he can torture me. All right, let's see. Next, let me open. I should have brought a piece of paper so I could crinkle it and make it sound like we're opening letters. All right.
Mm.
Would love to see an episode discussing the history of socialism and queer people. I know one liberal argument against socialism is how queer people were supposedly mistreated in Cuba and the USSR. Maybe even have a queer guest on. Love you guys. Star eyes heart. Mm. And that was hearted 10 times. So there seems to be a consensus that this is an interesting topic to people. Any preliminary thoughts?
We'll definitely look into it. We'll look into it. We'd have to get the right kind of guest and whatnot for it. Like with all our topics, right? Mm-hmm. We have to get the right person. We also need to make sure that the timing works. We need to make sure that all of us... It's scheduling. It's always scheduling.
But another thing is, obviously, as three straight dudes, we want to make sure that we're not talking about a subject that we are
mostly
not...
Straight.
Yeah, true. Yeah, we have, with, you know, with an asterisk there. There's an exception, a single or two exceptions for each of us. But you know what we mean. We want to make sure we do the topic justice, and that means finding someone who's properly qualified to speak on the subject, both historically and through their own lived experiences. But yeah, that's something we definitely like to pursue. Here we have a suggestion from Gordy. Oh, I didn't read that other person's name. That was BTR. Thank you, BTR, with the kind of scary looking fox PFP. Gordy says, my suggestion, at around the 3/5 mark, okay, sus already, 3/5, why? Take a couple minutes to just chat about something completely unrelated to communism, politics, world events that you feel like talking about. Not for any particular reason, I just think the listeners might like to know how you're doing or if you've read any good books lately or anything. You can get back to the important shit later, I just want to recommend you throw in a quick detour for pacing. Yeah, I think we already kind of go on tangents quite often. We have a lot of our banter right up front, which for some reason some people tend to skip, which drives me nuts. That's part of our charm. That's why you people love us, at least.
It's my favorite part, honestly.
Yeah, the banter's great. But we'll try to maybe insert some of that and at various points in the episodes as well when it fits. Obviously, if we're doing a lecture or something, maybe it won't particularly fit in that episode. But yeah, while we're talking about it, let's see, what have I been reading? I've still been reading my way through The Expanse. There are 9 books, and they're long, and I'm a slow reader. But I quite enjoy it. I like sci-fi. Next up on my list is probably Contact. Contact is good. I've seen the movie probably 3 or 4 times. I've never read the book, so that one is probably next on my list. Recommendation-wise, definitely check out Three Body Problem if you haven't already. It is coming to Netflix. Yeah, by the time this episode's out for wide release, it might be out. I forget. I think it's the 21st or something like that. But it's also been adapted by a Chinese film studio, so I'm not sure what the difference will be. That was a while back. I'm sure the visual effects on the Netflix one are going to be good, and I think it's made by the Game of Thrones people. I don't know. Anyway, I digress. Read Three Body Problem. It's a good series. Hakeem, what about you?
I'm sorry. I'm going to disappoint you with my answer. I've read one of Kagarlitsky's books, From Empires to Imperialism. The subtitle is The State and Rise of Bourgeois Civilization. It's a very big book and very boring. It's like 400 pages.
Wow.
I do not recommend. Absolutely do not recommend. It's a very ambitious work. And as a result of it being very ambitious, it's just fucking... Yeah, it's a slog. Yeah. It's a slog to get through. And by the way, I came out of it, I don't feel like I've really benefited.
Wow.
Yeah.
Harsh words from Dr. Hakeem, who will read anything.
Exactly.
How do you do that, by the way? How do you get through books that are kind of boring but important?
I hate myself.
Okay, got it.
I just, do you know what? I basically treat it like homework. It's like I have to do a certain amount of pages today.
That's probably a good approach, honestly.
Where was it? I had something else. Fuck, no, I deleted. I deleted the file. Never mind. Rip. There's another book I read recently, but I don't even remember the
and
title.
You hated it that much, you just deleted the PDF.
Exactly. There's a 1984 book on Gaddafi that's actually very good that I recently read for an upcoming little video thing, Najlaji Wink Wink. It was impossible to find a PDF copy online. There's an archive like link for it or something. I found like the one... hardback copy that's still available online, and somehow it was like $2 or something. I don't know why, but I ordered it and it finally arrived. And it's a pretty good read.
That's our boy Hakeem. You can always count on Hakeem to be reading something cool. All right, next question is from Kukadacha, something like that. Any plans for an episode on the Zapatistas or Mexico in general? Also, have y'all tried their coffee? Zapatistas coffee or Mexican coffee?
Mexican coffee, I can imagine.
I was going to say, probably not. the thing is, I don't drink coffee. I am a sensitive little boy. I don't
really?
I can't do coffee. I can't do tea. I can't do beer. I can't do wine. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, no, beer and wine, this is good. These are good things to not have, but I mean, tea, wine.
Yeah. Well, I've tried a number of different kinds. I've tried the typical American iced tea. I've tried like what Kelsey likes, which is like a British style tea with lots of milk and stuff. I've tried Chinese stuff we have those, what do they call them? Tivana, maybe something like that. They're those you know, stores in the mall that have a bunch of different kinds of tea. I tried a couple there.
Yeah.
Really hated those. I don't know. I just don't like the planty, bitter taste. So I'm gonna rely on you to introduce me to your go-to.
We'll see. I'll make you some good stuff. I'll make you some. Don't worry. you need to be introduced into the world of cardamom.
As for the question about the Zapatistas or Mexico in general, it's kind of same as before. Since none of us are particularly well-versed on the subject, we're going to want to make sure we have someone who can speak on the issue. Also, I'm learning Spanish. I would love to be able to talk to people in their native tongue. I'm tired of being the last person on the pod who can't do that. So we'll get there eventually. Let's see. Scrolling for more mail. Gently fondling my sack for another message.
There we go. Who doesn't love it when JT fondles his sack?
I'd love an episode where you guys talk about the ways in which y'all engage in praxis and the best ways for listeners to get involved in their local areas. So I don't know that it's really worth a full episode because it really varies on where you live and what's available in your area. But the you know, quote unquote best way always, regardless of where you live, is just to find what orgs are in your area and reach out.
Exactly right.
That's pretty much it. I mean, like for me, the CPUSA has a hey, get in contact form, and they'll reach out to you because they don't want you to, like, you know, just show up at a meeting and assume you're going to be like a wrecker or a fed or something. So I when I was looking at joining some kind of org, I submitted a form to the CPUSA. It's basically just, hey, what's your name? Why do you want to get involved? What's your email/phone number? And I sent that off. And then within like 24 hours, somebody gave me a call with a little, you know, cursory, hey, how you doing? Why do you want to get involved? And that was that. And then they added me to the Slack, and the rest is history. And that's pretty much how it goes with all of those. DSA is a little bit more lax with their vetting process. You can just go to meetings and stuff. So whatever's available in your area, it'll depend on what country you're in, if you have access to a large city. But like here, even here in Texas, like there's North Texas, DSA, CPUSA, PSL. We have pretty much everything. So odds are you have at least one org in your area. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Just reach out. They'll get in contact with you.
That, and also there's a dedicated podcast episode on this. I made a video on this. You made a video on it. Like, we've still spoken on the topic.
Funnily enough, yeah, I'm about to make another video on the subject. Yeah. I've been clipping comments that are, well, this is great and all, but what's the solution? Or what do we do? I'm like, okay, yeah. I guess I'm going to make what we about to do with the video.
So. How do you be?
Oh, here's one from another one from Bedonver the Unpronounceable. JT, how sick did you get when you went on that half as interesting crime spree thing? Give us some deets. Okay, so for those who aren't aware, I was the DP for some of Sam from Wendover's stuff, some of his documentaries, and the first half as interesting crime spree episode where we just traveled and committed like minuscule crimes, the goofy crimes that different states have. And we had just flown into Portland, I believe, and we went to get lunch at a Jersey Mike's, you know, good, reliable Jersey Mike's. It's a sandwich place for those of you who aren't aware. And I got my usual. I got an Italian sandwich. And we got back in the car after eating, and not 7 minutes later, I started getting dizzy.
No.
I started getting really hot. I was like, oh, no. And so, you know, come an hour down the line, I had to get Sam to pull over in a parking lot while he was like trying to break some silly law. And I just sat on the curb with my head in my hands and tried not to vomit my guts out until we got back to the hotel. I got back to the hotel. I drew the blinds. I was shaking, shivering, clammy. I got so food poisoned then. And funnily enough, I've gotten food poisoning on every trip I've done for that man. So I think he's trying to kill me. So after that, I just started traveling with like protein bars and stuff. I'm like, I'm not going to eat anything. I'm just going to eat these bars. It was bad. It wasn't as bad as coming back from a wedding in Zimbabwe where I got COVID and ended up in a hospital in Qatar for 3 days. That was the sickest I've ever been. I did not see the light at the end of the tunnel there.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I've had a rough go of it with travel recently. But
yeah, alhamdulillah, you're healthy and good. But please, like, watch out. I don't know. You need to get your, like, immunoglobulins checked or something.
I know, yeah. There's something wrong with my tum-tum.
No, what's it called? The food poisoning, that you can't help. There's some fucking ancient cheese that was served to you.
Yeah. The foot lettuce, yeah. Yeah.
Fucking hell. Oh, please, could you please do the fight? No, I won't force you.
All right, we'll continue. Right. We've got one from Y la Revolucion Pa Cuando. This one says, best dicking down I ever got. I got from the guy who introduced me to this podcast. So thanks for that. You're very welcome. We love to hear it. We love to hear it. Next one from Aware. Aware? I don't know. Any advice on researching certain topics? I struggle to navigate Google Scholar and whatnot to find credible sources. This is a Hakeem thing. Do you use the scholarly stuff?
Yeah, sometimes, but like, this is the thing. Routledge publishes almost all the, like, if you're looking for historical stuff. Otherwise, there's most definitely a JSTOR link to, like, JSTOR, link to the topic that you want to cover. And then you just get the DOI, and then you go to, like, Sci-Hub and paste it in, and then you'll get the full article without having, well, like, you'll bypass paywalls and whatnot. That's how I usually do it. Otherwise, yeah, Google Scholar works. Most of it is informed guessing. Like, I know a certain work or book or something that loosely covers the topic, and then I'll go and look through their bibliography, and then you'll find good shit. But this is a very roundabout way. Google is your best friend, honestly. Just try to narrow your searches down.
And Sci-Hub, that's the one with the raven or the crow or whatever and the key.
Exactly right, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
that's
exactly
they right. have to keep moving domains, right? Because they keep trying to get taken
exactly
down.
Exactly right.
How do you find them?
But you just type in Sci-Hub, and then there's going to be somebody who maintains a mirror website where they're going to have like six different links, and one of them will work. LibGen is the same thing. One of them will eventually work. So yeah, I think I bookmarked like 17 of their iterations at this point.
Oh, wow. Jesus. There you go. Well, hopefully that is helpful. Most of the time, I just straight up don't use credible sources. Like, I'll go for stuff that's common knowledge. And then I'll just emotional attack it up. And that's how it goes. But usually also video. I just pull videos and stuff like that. I'm not most of the time people aren't going to be convinced by citations in my experience. Though there are some people who would be interested in the citations, and that is where the benefit of having them comes in, I think. So yeah, Godspeed finding good sources. From C. Brown 117. I think a segment of y'all sharing your methods for coping with everything going on would be appreciated by a lot of people. Yeah, everyone has their own coping methods, but I think the best one, generally, is touching grass. Like, just, you know, log off. It sounds cheesy, but that is the thing that has helped me the absolute most. Like, I used to be pretty tied to my phone because, you know, my job is internet, much like Ken's job is beach. I just, like, I'm on my phone all the time. I'm researching. I'm bookmarking things to use in videos. And so I was like, okay, if I'm not working, I'm going to turn my phone off, or I'm going to put it in the other room, or, you know, something like that. I'm going to go for a walk and take a notebook with me. So if something comes to mind, I'll write it down in the notebook, but I don't have Twitter to distract me, things like that. And just like looking around, it's amazing. I don't know why this might sound strange, but if I'm driving around, like yesterday I was driving home and there's like a little median with a stop sign on it in a little patch of grass. And I'm like, huh, I wonder how many people have stood on that patch of grass. Like, just, you know, think about things that aren't awful. The internet, like, think of, just look around, say, oh, that tree looks, I wonder how old that tree is. You know, I wonder if anyone's ever rolled that big rock over there. You know, just be curious about the things that are in your vicinity, that are around you. And, you know, let your mind wander in that kind of capacity as much as you can. You'll be amazed your brain's ability to kind of reset and get healthier after just a little bit of disconnecting from the evil that is the internet. At least that's what I do.
I agree. Yeah. Touch grass, exercise, try to eat well, worship God, and be thankful. That's what you need in life. Otherwise.
Yeah, I regret to inform everyone that being physically healthy to the best of your ability does indeed make an improvement. I slipped a disc in my neck last year.
Oh my god.
And yeah, that was really
how?
Bad.
What are you doing? You're like my patients.
I know. I was lifting heavy and I wasn't focusing as much on form as I should have. And you better believe I'm never going to do that again.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. You rehabbed it out, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much fixed now. Like, if I'm doing the dishes, just like looking down at a particular angle and holding my arms out at a particular angle, and for whatever reason, it's only when I'm doing the dishes, I'll still get some tingling in my shoulder blade area. But like, just so I've been doing light stuff, like, you know, push-ups, so Indian clubs, What?
Habibi.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry to inform you, but you're going to be 62 one day.
I know.
And this fucking thing's going to come back with a vengeance.
It's never going to go away fully. So yeah, oh be God. Careful. You know, work out to the best of your ability. You know, right. We're not saying go be a power lifter or anything. Just, you know, go for a walk. Go for a jog. Go for a swim. Pick up some 1 pound Indian clubs and do some mobility work. That really helps. Things like that. It's good for you physically. It's good for you mentally. You will be amazed how much of a better headspace you're in just after a week of going for a 10-minute walk every day.
Yeah, exactly right. Bodyweight stuff is the best, generally. It's not the best for building a particular... I mean, no, you can build a fantastic physique that way, mm-hmm. But you have to be very diligent with it. It's better to go and do like targeted workouts, compound movements, and then targeted machine work. But body work is the kind of stuff that you will have a lot of difficulty hurting yourself doing.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Low injury right. risk. So. Very important as you get old and decrepit like me.
Okay. Exactly right.
All right. Scrolling. We've got a poem, as requested, about Ugopnik from John Wilkes Booth Babe. Roses are red. Marxism is neat. The people demand Ugopnik feet. Thank you for your exactly contribution, right. John Wilkes Booth Babe.
You know he's going to go. You know he'll do it, right?
Yeah. He's going to do it on stream, foot stream yeah, for Palestine.
Oh my God. And we're going to break the 100,000 yeah. Barrier. Jesus Christ.
Let's see. Let me find another one here. Okay. Here's Gordy again. Little baby comrade. I'm personally still a bit on the fence about, like, everything. I'm comfortable calling myself a leftist, but I'm not sure I'm into Marxism-Leninism, mostly because I'm not into democratic centralism or the concept of a vanguard party, but that's neither here nor there. Having a handy guide on how to find reliable resources on the questions I have, rather than just coming onto the Discord and asking random people for their input, would be lovely. Hakim, what would you say is the
mass
best...
Line.
Yeah, is the best TLDR book to read?
It's not a book. There's a online dictionary. It's titled Mass Line, MassLine. It's a Marxist-Leninist Maoist resource. So, like, I mean, if that'll affect your, you know, but they put evidence for all their, what's it called, definitions. So you can look up a particular topic and it'll have a very nice little summary, explanations, and then other sourcing. What's nice with it as well is that it's continuously being added to. Other than that, though, like, there is an older... Soviet book. Oh, I don't remember the name of it, but it was translated into English, and basically it's the concept is questions and answers kind of thing.
Huh.
But it still doesn't cover all of the things. They release them, by the way, in several volumes as well. Very interesting thing. I'll find it one day. Again, I remember I read through it, and it's a very neat, like...
primer?
Intro. Yeah, a primer book. I was surprised that they did that, because the Soviets will publish stuff like that, but they also publish, like, the Intro to Marxism-Leninism, which is the condensed version is 600 pages, and it's one of the most fucking dry academic works you can ever read. To the point, by the way, what's it called? Because it was, I believe, the second version or the third version was released during Khrushchev's time, and the U.S. Congress wanted to get like a summary of it or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they made some poor professors get together and make like a 42-page summary, and they're just complaining the entire time. it's actually kind of cute.
That's fun.
I have it printed somewhere. I compiled and printed it myself somewhere.
The 600-page one?
Yeah.
Wow. Habibi, why are you printing this at the poor print shop?
Hey, do you know? Oh my God, dude! I do you know what I did? Oh my God, they'll kill me if they find out. But it has been years. In my university, you used to be able to get like tokens for printing. Basically whatever you wanted, but it's supposed to be for notes, like lecture notes and stuff. Uh-huh. And what I would do is I would go around to all the people who never use their tokens and be like, hey, give it to me. So I'd take their tokens and then I'd use university resources to print
books.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, oh shit, God. Here comes the token goblin.
And I used to do that. I used to use the comically large stapler that they have in every fucking library, and I'd just be stapling all these binders together. Oh my God.
You're a menace.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. I'd finish up their ink, and then I'd just be like, well, you know, get to work, pal. I got the tokens.
But, yeah. Excuse me, you guys are out of ink again.
Oh my God. So yeah, it was something that I made good use of at the time, and that's what you got to be resourceful when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah. All right, next up is Nate 4313. Could each of you give one nonfiction and one fiction book recommendation? Would love to hear what you're all reading. Okay. Kind of did this earlier. My recommendation would be Three Body Problem. Really, really good Chinese author. It won some awards in China, so it's got some street cred. Even though the first bit of the first book does read a little anti-communist, if you can kind of hold your nose at that and get through it, at least that, you know, at least the author knows what he's talking about. Like, he used terminology correctly. It wasn't super, super liberal. It's just very critical of the Cultural Revolution at the beginning of the first book. As for nonfiction, what have I read most recently? I haven't read much nonfiction recently at all.
Stay blessed.
Yeah,
your
honestly,
skin,
yeah.
Your skin is
this
perfect.
This is part of my self-help routine. Yeah. I don't know. Read On Practice, Non-Contradiction. Those are fun. Like, I always recommend State and Revolution because it's nice and short and funny, like genuinely funny. Mm. But Mao's good, too. Like, he was a funny boy.
He was a fantastic writer, too. Very easy to get through.
Yeah.
From my side, I would say my favorite fiction, it's not my favorite, but it's one of them. It's definitely up there. Kafka's work. Particularly, The Penal Colony. Fuck, I can't speak. Penal Colony. Penis Colony. Yes, yeah. The Penis Colony is the one that... Yeah, I highly recommend it. It's fantastic work. But then read all the rest of Kafka's stuff. He's... I don't know, there's like a weird vibe about it. Like, you're slightly uncomfortable, but it's just very so pleasant to read.
The dude turns into a bug.
Yeah, exactly. Metamorphosis, exactly right. Well, The Hunger Artist sucks. I don't like The Hunger Artist. But a bunch of all the rest of his stuff is pretty good. That's number one. As for nonfiction, I remember this is a book I read recently. Actually, two books. I'll recommend two. How about that? Carlos Martinez's book on China is very good. I think he called it The East is Still Red, I think.
Yeah.
Very, very, very interesting conceptualization of China as a socialist state still. Of course, there's some stuff there that's, you know, you can disagree with, but it's a good book. I'd recommend it. That's number one. Number two is God Save the USSR by... I need to... God Save the USSR. Hold on. What was the person? Jeff Eden. Yes. It's an incredibly good work, based on new research and new, the place where they keep the fucking
archives. Archives?
Archive, thank you. Yeah. New archive research. But basically, it goes into how prior to World War II and through World War II, various religious communities managed to integrate themselves into the Soviet system that was really against them through being like hyper-patriotic. Essentially, very, very interesting concept. And by the way, completely demolishes the idea that, oh, you know, the Soviet man and how religion was done away. It's completely it was the most superficial layer on top of state enforced atheism. And then all the grounds underneath are basically people were religious just like under the Tsar, just manifested differently. And then it went right back to, what it was after the dissolution of the Soviet Union. So, yeah, but both are fantastic works. Highly recommend them.
Next up, we've got Leon, favorite non-anime cartoon. Literally anything. anything besides anime. No, Over the Garden Wall was quite good. I like Adventure Time. That's fun. Really like Avatar The Last Airbender. I grew up watching that, so it's very nostalgic for me. SpongeBob. Oh, okay, it's got to be SpongeBob.
Have you heard the Arabic SpongeBob song?
No, I haven't. Is it?
Oh my
slap?
God! Yeah, it does slap. I need to send it to you sometime.
Put it in the episode. All I know is in French, he's Bob l'Éponge.
Oh, my God. Fuck. I can't imagine what he is in Hungarian. let me see. Favorite non-anime cartoon. Dude, you're talking to an Arab, man. All we watch was anime. We're like Latinos.
Oh, yeah. How are you guys doing with the loss of the Goku artist?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's a day of mourning all across. You know what? I've never been the biggest fan of Dragon Ball Z, but I know plenty of people are. I just feel bad for Mexico right now, or just all Latin America. It is a black day.
Did you see the cartels had a ceasefire for a while?
Oh my god, fuck! I mean, hey, he did good even in death. Why not?
Yeah,
but yeah, bless dude, don't him. You? The Japanese government sent like a not a cease and desist, but basically, please don't stop pirating, officially pirating.
Wow.
Our stuff to the Mexican government because they're doing like street viewings that were drawing crowds of like tens of thousands of people. Of
Dragon Ball Z episodes.
Yeah, one of the finale had it was done in like a stadium, and there was tens of thousands of people. There's video footage. There's a photo evidence of
That's
this.
Amazing.
It's the most insane shit.
Yeah. I saw a video on Twitter the other day of this little town in rural Mexico where they were putting on like a parade in honor of the guy's death, and everyone was dressed up as Dragon Ball characters, and they had like dances and stuff. It was very sweet.
Yeah, my god.
Rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. I'm not gonna say non-anime. I'm just gonna say anime because I'm sorry. I don't have a thing. When I was a kid, I loved, and I still do to today. It's Detective Conan. I absolutely love that shit. I love how he'd solve the cases. I'd love how he'd shoot the watch thing and make his uncle fall asleep. It's been years since I've watched it. That and Hunter x Hunter, I remember, was also fantastic.
My understanding of anime is so limited. I've watched a couple episodes of Naruto. I watched some Rurouni Kenshin and Yu Yu Hakusho on Toonami as a kid, and that's it.
Yeah, dude, maybe shonen's not your taste, man. Maybe the fighting stuff is not the right.
Yeah,
because I'm certain there's some stuff that you absolutely love.
All right, we'll get together and cook some stuff and have some tea and watch the sort of anime. Then I'll probably kill myself because I don't like tea and I don't like anime.
I'll make you watch the absolute worst. Oh my god, I'll make you watch Boku no Pico or something.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know. It's a meme. It's known for being bad. I've never seen it personally. I just know it's a meme known for being bad. Let the people tell us in the comments.
Yeah.
It's going to turn out to be messed up, I'm sure.
Wonderful. Okay, here's a question from Monarch. How effective do y'all think what you do is? Like, does all of this stuff have a noticeable effect on the political climate of whatever country? Short answer, no, not really. I think, you know, everyone listening to this is listening to this because we've kind of made a difference. We've maybe changed their opinion, or they already had some inkling of leftist beliefs. And there are a lot of, you know, there are a couple thousand people in this server at least. So, you know, on a personal level, sure, yeah, we can probably have some effect on people's lives, and those people can go on and change other minds. But I will never say that what we do is like quote unquote important as praxis. This is first and foremost entertainment, educational entertainment, but the only thing really that will make a difference is you going out and getting involved. So we're like maybe step one, we can kind of give you a nudge into doing something that matters, but you know, that's my opinion.
I completely agree. This is Hugo has a fantastic analogy of in the revolution where the people put up the posters.
Yeah. Yep.
This is agit propaganda. This is what this is. And educational and mostly just for fun. That being said, on an individual level, and I think it's kind of the reverberating effects of what we do will eventually reach and allow for some sort of material action, something actually like actual praxis. But this is not something we're doing. We're just helping inspire other people or, you know, help them in their journey when it comes to this sort of stuff. But don't fall into the pitfall of thinking that being online is where praxis is done. No, this is you're trying to spread information at the very best.
And, you know, everything helps. So we're not like we're not saying we're detracting from the movement. We're not saying what we do is completely useless. But like on the tier list of what's most effective, you know, we're enjoyable, but we're not the top. Moving on, let's see. From Ramen Noddles, what are some of your guys' favorite bands?
I'm interested.
Yeah, top of the list for me has always been Arctic Monkeys. I love everything they've done. All of their different sounds are very interesting to me. Other than that, I like jazz.
Like jazz. Sorry.
You know, like stereotypical stuff, big band stuff, Louis Armstrong, stuff like that, Ella Fitzgerald.
I can't believe they got Seinfeld to be the fucking B. Oh my god, sorry, go on.
Other than that, it just varies by time. Most of the time I'm just like listening to lo-fi or synthwave these days just because I don't feel like going to the effort of selecting an album to put on and stuff like that. But if I do put on an album, it'll likely be Arctic Monkeys or maybe Two Door Cinema Club, something like that.
For me, it really depends. It depends on what kind of mood I'm in. I like a lot of like city pop kind of stuff. I like Molchat Doma and more, you know, this post-punky kind of music as well. More, I guess, high energy music, Sewer Slut, stuff like that. I enjoy also lo-fi stuff, Nujabes or Nujabes or however the fuck people say the name. The Japanese artist who died tragically.
Yeah.
But yeah, that kind of like hip hop on lo-fi beat type stuff is very, very, it's smooth, easy listening, I feel.
Right? Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You can be grocery shopping, you can be driving to work, you can be whatever, and it'll just, it fits the mood. Otherwise, plenty of Arabic music, mostly Umkatum. Hold on, here's a great one. AJKM Curator says, can you all give us a deal plan to remove French from the planet? Why did you skip over this fine
Because
comment,
I knew
GT?
This would be 3 hours long with you with your detailed red string plans.
Okay, exactly right. You know what? I'll just say one thing. Take away the baguettes, all right? That's the first step.
Oh, remove
baguettes.
And then
they'll disperse. remove baguettes. And then we shall have the greater French sea. and no land connection between Spain and Germany.
Gonna go with the comically large saw a la Bugs Bunny.
Exactly. Exactly right. And then just float it into the ocean.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it'll be like a an inbred Atlantis. All right. I'm sorry. Okay.
Right, let's see.
Benji says, is Hugo a Kurd? Yes, he is.
And he's not here to defend himself, of course.
Exactly right. Have you seen that meme where it's like Adam Smith wrote a letter to Karl Marx asking him, are you a Kurd? Marx never replied. Oh my God. We need to change that and just write, are you Albanian? And send it to
you. Yeah.
Krishna R says, thank you for making my friends hate me for never shutting up about theory.
Hey.
Much love to you guys. Much love to you right back, Habibi.
I blame Hakim for that one. He's the one who's always recommending amazing books.
Hey. Sometimes it's amazing. Sometimes it's just straight up, yeah, I hate myself and I hate the people listening, so here we go. Have some just absolute, you know.
Dense.
Oh my God. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Like honey. Like cold honey to sift through. Fucking hell. If y'all, this is Spicehead says, if y'all can give a shout out to Waco PSL, my sister would appreciate it. Shout out to Waco PSL, I guess.
Hey.
Also, what sort of action should socialists take in response to the recent racist migrant laws? Ask your local organizations. They'll probably have a better line on this than we could because we don't know the local, the specifics of it. But there's almost always... the nice thing about relatively stable bourgeois societies is that you can use the law against them to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just very good with that, you can get pretty far, actually. But otherwise, just the usual agitation, education, organization. That's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have fantastic, fantastic additions for you, Habibi.
Oh, let's hear it.
Bass Frog has a poem for us. He says, there once was a man from Yugoslavia, a lover of booze, even Rakia. His co-host requested a verse oh so sweet that prompted the reader to ponder his feet. Though countries once united, they tread by mighty and great Tito where they led. In many continents they have stepped, so perfect men stared and babies wept. The great Yukopling's feet, even Musk would retweet, leaves footsteps to a better world for us all. So that was his. That was Bass Frog. And then John Wilkes Booth Babe, who had the previous one, was disappointed by the fact that this one was better than his, so he came back. He hit back. All right. This is a Tupac versus Biggie type of situation. Okay. So John Wilkes Booth Babe says, and he added, you go up and he says, which one do you prefer? If you say Bass Frog, I'm going to travel back in time and kill Tito. If you like mine, I'll travel to redact it and remove all taxes on booze. So here it is. There once was a man named JT whose toe cheese was so tasty. He tried to deflect with the Yukopnik's request, but his hogs are not so hasty.
That doesn't even make sense.
And then he followed up with a haiku. JT has some quite nice toast to nibble on, but he won't allow us.
There we go. Now we're talking.
I'm glad. I'm glad people are keeping my feet out of this.
Let me count those syllables. JT has some quite nice toast to nibble on, but he won't allow us. Yep. All right. That checks out. Well done.
Yeah. See. There we go. Okay. Yeah. No. Somebody kind of included me. It was my mayhem. And in the end, he basically says, or excuse me, they basically say, he keeps them safe, he keeps them clean, he saves them for Hakim. thank you for that.
Very nice. And objectively true. Objectively true.
Yeah.
A mining comrade, what is an appropriate vodka to drink when Trump wins this election in November? I like the when Trump wins. Honestly, probably the case. There is only one correct answer to this, and that is Tito's from Austin, Texas. Tito's is my favorite vodka. Better than all that European shit. Get you a Tito's citrus. Oh, it's delicious. Mix that with a little strawberry puree, a little bit of lemonade. You have a delicious, fruity summer beverage. Perfect for drowning your sorrow and like probably a little bit of cognitive dissonance because you're happy he's back because you're going to get a lot of good memes, but terrified that he's back because you're probably going to get executed or deported. So, you know, drink to both.
Exactly right. Rydrich Wyr Comin Vindol. I'm sure that's Welsh.
Yeah.
And I pronounced it wrong. He says, my question is, what is your favorite language that you can't speak aesthetically? He says that he used to speak Welsh, but now instead, since he speaks it, he'd rather Arabic or Scottish Gaelic.
Hmm.
How about you, JT?
Favorite language you cannot speak? I don't know. I can't technically speak Spanish yet, and I've always liked the cadence of Spanish.
Latin American,
yes.
Specifically.
I'm coming around on the Spain Spanish with the Barcelona kind of thing. It's kind of cute in its own way, and some of the differences. But I do prefer a good strong cerveza versus cerveza or whatever it is.
Mm.
So, what about you?
Let's see. I don't know. I think it really sounds stupid and cliche, but either Russian or Chinese. Also Spanish. Sometimes I go back and forth on Farsi as well, but
Speaking of not being able to speak Chinese, have you seen that video of there's like a Chinese convenience store clerk and some American kids, like one big American kid and one like some skinny one, and the Chinese guy was like giving them a toast, I believe, in Chinese and having them repeat it back, and they were just yelling back at their best attempt at the Chinese.
I have not seen this.
Very wholesome as they toast with their Gatorade or whatever it is.
Very cute.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. No, it's plenty. Sadly, it's too many languages to learn and not nearly enough time. My favorite pastime is freaking Yugo out.
With how much you understand of his language.
Exactly. Let's see. Diego says, which one would be the most effective? You wrote it wrong. By the following: JT having to spend 40 hours every week, either working at Best Buy or watching anime. Hugo only having access to plastic American vodka bottles and no music anywhere over a low to medium volume. Or Hakim only being allowed one cup of tea if he spends at least 2 hours of the day conversing in French.
I think that's the cruelest, that last one.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yugopnik, he's a snob with his vodka, but he'd be okay with the plastic.
Yeah.
As for the music volume, that would probably get to him a little bit more. For me, I would pick working at Best Buy for 40 hours rather than watching 40 hours of anime. It makes me so intensely uncomfortable.
I'll make it a full-time job for you. You're going to have to go and clock in 8 hours a day. You get a lunch break, but otherwise you're going to have to just watch anime.
Oh, God.
That's what you get the wage for. That's okay. You'll get some Avatar Last Airbender as a treat.
Hey, thank you.
Happy to be. Auntie sent a very nice, large, personal anecdote. We'll read his TLDR, although the rest of it is very nice. He said, it's a long story, mostly me yapping, but my mom had both good and bad experiences with Socialist Poland. But after the dissolution of the USSR, she left Poland to study in England, then to Australia, where she met my father working in a fucking casino of all places. Huh. Both parents are relatively pro-socialist, but more socked than me. Listening to the podcast has let me explore not only my own politics, but my family's history. I was your top 0.5% of listeners last year, according to Spotify. So it's safe to say I love the work all three of you do. Hakim, happy Ramadan. Happy Ramadan, Karim. Thank you very much. Yugopnik, I'm going to clip your LARP ass, and JT, I'm going to destroy you with my mono black vampire commander.
No.
You're going to get sucked dry. And then he says, wait.
Nice.
Oh, that's very sweet.
We appreciate it. That's a very wholesome message. I'm sitting here, we're trying to figure out who your mono black vampire commander could be. Is the commander mono black as well? Now you'll have to tell me who it is in the, just ping me and let me know. I'd be curious to see what you're running in your deck.
Biomaster says, is there any kind of timeline or idea when you sweet folks can finally manifest somewhere together physically? That's to say, when are you pilgriming to the nuke? Honestly, it's like, again, it's a lot of logistics issues, but also it's a paperwork in that case.
Yeah.
Right? We're three different parts of the world, so we're going to have to find a place where it would be easiest for all of us to meet. And most likely that will not be in the United States, at least on my end.
We've got some tentative plans. We'll see. We'll let you guys know if we make it happen. You'll get some special content, I'm sure.
You'll get some feet. All three of our feet in one photo.
Since you people don't appear on camera, it's going to be me taking that picture, like a selfie, and with like my friends are here too, laughing just outside of frame.
Habibi.
That one guy, whatever his name is. We have a prophetic vision from Magna Wongo. Last night I had a dream, and at one point, after having been must have been proselytized to about not putting socks in the washing machine, I found myself in a sort of recording studio. It reminded me of the lodge from Twin Peaks. There was some equipment in there, but more importantly, JT was sitting there in his Volvo in the middle of the room, turning the steering wheel from side to side while making car noises to himself. Ugopnik wasn't there, sadly. As for Hakim, I couldn't see him anywhere, but I knew he was there. I felt his presence.
Menacingly in the walls or under the bed.
Just watching. That's a little bit eerie dream, very backroomsy. But I'm glad you experienced our
JT going vroom vroom ding 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 going way way way.
Glad you experienced that, friend. Thank you for sharing.
If by the way, once the stupid fucking Volvo is done, goddamn.
I know.
If the next the first episode after it's done, if it doesn't start with you revving that engine to the max, all right, then
I'm gonna
send it right back to the
don't
to
you
the shop.
Worry. I'm gonna put my microphone right up close to the tailpipe. I'm gonna get you some beauty shots. Oh, you better believe it.
I can't wait. All right, Colin says, I know Hakim does some fasting based on some comments he's made in some of the older episodes. As a fellow faster who has done intermittent fasting in OMAD for a while, and also some multi-day fasts, I was just wondering if he could go into his routine a little bit. Is it purely for religious reasons, or are there health lifestyle choices that play a part? Do you take any supplements during it, like electrolytes, etc.? The fasting I do is mostly just for religious purposes. I have done some intermittent fasting before, but now I prefer to eat at a slight caloric surplus and get enough protein to maintain muscle mass instead when working out. Then afterwards, then just maintenance. But otherwise, yeah, my fasts are religious fasts. As for routines, I don't really have any. The Islamic routine is that you wake up right before the Fajr prayer, so that's the dawn prayer, for something called Sahur, which is basically you getting up to eat right before then and drink enough water. And usually it's just a few dates, some yogurt and water, and then afterwards you go to bed again after you pray, and then you wake up for your day proper. So then that means I go to work, I work a full shift, you know, and then I come home in the evening, and then by the Maghrib prayer, which is the sundown prayer basically, I can eat again. I don't really do anything specific. I don't take any electrolytes or vitamins. I take some supplementation regularly, but not as a result of fasting. It's just to supplement, right? But nothing really specific, I would say, that I would do. But alhamdulillah, I'm otherwise healthy and I don't take any medications. Otherwise, there would be some adjustments that would need to be made.
Yeah, I've been doing the intermittent fasting for a while and I like it quite well. It was a little bit tough to get used to. In America, we do a lot of breakfast usually, but I've never been a big breakfast person, so that was made it a little bit easier for me. So I'll typically not eat lunch until 1 o'clock, something like that. And it's been good. It's been helped me keep a good, healthy weight and energy level. So I'd recommend it for anybody who's trying to lose a few calories for their daily intake. That's a very easy way to do it once you get the hang of it.
Yeah, for sure. And also the mental clarity you get is unparalleled.
Yeah.
Just fasting in general. It's not just intermittent fast, just fasting in general. Like a few hours into it, you get this like clearness of the mind. If you suffer from like this weird brain fog, particularly after you eat, it's a fantastic little like change in the routine. But yeah, some people don't get it at all though, so it's all of this is individual.
Here we've got one from Pinecat. They say, just want to say thanks for being a great podcast and helping me get motivated in community work. It's been awesome getting involved locally and not feeling like the only socialist on the planet of the internet. That's awesome. Thank you for that message, Pinecat. We do love to hear that people are actually getting involved because of our work. I know that's very rewarding, speaking personally. There's nothing like actually going and meeting with people IRL, finding a local problem and seeing what you can do to help.
But you make friends, man.
Yeah.
It's the touching grass thing. It's you feel part of something bigger, a community, blah, blah, blah. It's very nice.
It really is. They follow up with a recommendation. Also, please consider reading the manga Fool Knight. It's a new take on dystopian story with a focus on climate change and class struggles. Although only 30 chapters have been translated to English, I'm working on the rest, and the official English translation for Volume 1 should be coming out this month. Well,
very cool.
That does sound cool, but I tell you what, I'm not about to read a book backwards.
Fucking hell. Dude, what about us, huh? What about...
y'all are... I don't know what y'all are doing over there. It don't make no sense.
Oh, my God.
I'm so teasing, cute. Of course. I might give it a try. That sounds interesting.
Let's see. Big Boy Slim says, hello to my lovely fellows. I have a question for our physician. Hey, do you have any book recommendations on medicine and healthcare from a Marxist perspective? Blessings upon blessings for y'all. Aww. Hi, baby. Thank you. Likewise. Not really. There's a book titled Red Medicine from like the 30s about Soviet healthcare, and there's many studies done, like or not studies, but like academic work on Soviet healthcare and Chinese healthcare and Cuban healthcare, etc., Vietnamese too, which by the way is not like it's okay. It's pretty actually pretty good, but it's not as good as you'd expect of a socialist nation. But that's for a variety of reasons. We can get to that at a different point. But sadly, none that I can think of. What's his name? Guevara was working actually on a book about being a revolution doctor, blah blah blah, when he was in Guatemala. But he got like a few chapters in, and then he wrote a letter to his mom. He was like, it was just a lot of poetic, basically fluff. So he decided to not finish it, which is a shame. I'm sure maybe those notes are somewhere in with his family. By the way, I'm going to say this again. I've said mentioned it before, but I'll say it again. I know that his wife loves him, Aleida Marsh. I know that she loves him. But her censoring his diaries by removing basically any time he talks about other women is a little bit like on the... It's a little, you know, right... like she keeps everything else, everything is intact, but whenever he mentions anything about any other woman, all of a sudden this needs to be taken out.
We have a little bit of a duty to you know, give that to the people.
But she is his wife as well.
I do understand.
Amy says, thank you all for the pod. It's hard to openly read at my job, so podcasts, videos, audiobooks help me get through some of my labor, and the podcast is a great balance of informative and insightful content, but also enough banter and humor to cut the gravitas of anything socialists touch. I really do appreciate that. Thank you very much. We really appreciate that. That's what we try to do with this, to keep it kind of semi-interesting at the very least, and then eventually, you know, on occasion do something silly and just mindless like this episode today, especially after coming off the back of more serious stuff.
Yeah, we like to have a good mix. I think that helps it be a little bit more digestible. We love all of our comrades out there making, you know, proper theory-heavy podcasts and stuff. But you get a little bit burned out on those sometimes, so we want to try to be a bit of a, you know, offer something just a little bit different, a little bit more warm and fuzzy to welcome our little piggies.
Exactly right. They also say, also random thought that came up. JT, since you play DK in Smash, I had a weird image of you cargo throw holding Yugo / Hakim.
That's very wholesome. Anyone who plays Smash. Yeah, somebody draw that for us. I would love to see that. All right. Well, that's the whole list of mailbag. We've emptied our sack for the day.
Yeah.
So
JT has buzzed. Oh, my God.
Thank you all for your lovely messages. Questions, anecdotes, poems about feet. Truly, this is has been one of the days of our life, I must say. So, if you like this, please do let us know. We'll make sure to announce a little bit further ahead of time next time.
In the future,
so that you guys have more time to submit stories or fan fiction or assorted smut about Yugopnik and Hakim. We would love to read it. Thank you all for being... you wonderful people. Thank you especially to our beautiful patrons, without whom we could not do what we do. Thank you from the bottom of our dirty little commie hearts. You are the best. Mwah, mwah. With all that being said, this has been the Deprogram. I'm JT.
All right, Kim.
And Yugopnik is probably here in spirit. You can imagine him with his little hogs out. I will see you next time.